Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Man, Christopher Kidd is really deathly afraid of animals. And particularly dogs.
What is that?
Who brought the dogs into work today?
Jody.
What show was that?
It was the next door. Jody and Bender. Jet.
We were not allowed to bring animals into the studio.
That was the old regime. old guard.
No, I mean, we really do have some FM shows around here who really just do not abide by said rules.
Nobody's here. We have a golf center set up in the studio.
There was never any email that came out that said we could not create a golf center in our studio. Did you ever see one?
No, but how often do you follow rules of a boss that's just not here anymore?
Did you say, okay, doesn't mean the rules go away, Matt.
I don't know.
Rules are rules.
Okay.
We abide by rules, or there's disorder, lawlessness.
I think it was a different situation when you had an office full of people.
Hey, I'm just asking you. Did you ever see an email that said, do not build an indoor golf practice facility with net, mat, putting,
center? No.
And then put it right next to a window. Did anyone ever say that?
No, I never saw that email. Well, sometimes, though.
Was there an email that said, do not bring in your dogs to work?
There was at one time that email.
And was there also an email that said, don't bring guests into work?
Well, yeah, that did happen.
these two, we're sandwiched between two stations that don't like to abide by the rules.
Well, I'm not entirely sure. That's actually a radio show and not a daycare over there. I'm not really sure what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not. You know what? That's a fair point. I'm not sure if it isn't a daycare either. And how many kids do you have? Between the kids show and the dog show.
And wedged right between them. There's
the
us.
Pillar of this station.
Yes.
I've been doing it longer than anyone here.
But if you ask me, kid's afraid of the wrong show. He's more afraid of the dogs. I'd be afraid of the kids.
What kind of dog is it?
I don't know. It's just a little 10-pound.
And he's afraid of that.
Yeah.
Well, he's a cat person, remember?
Kind of wiry hair. Yes.
Yeah, kid's a cat person. Now, what's up with that Wednesday? I got a great what's up
That's
with that Wednesday.
That's a good
Wednesday
start.
Coming up at 12:30 today. I got a great one.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Baffles me. It will always baffle me. All right. Headlines brought to you by VenueKings.com. What's the very latest in sports, huh? What do we got?
Nothing. Slow day yesterday. Slow news day.
Yeah, how about that? Old Shoddy. Day after, he said, yeah, they're all coming back. Day after he went on his flagship. No, he's our guy.
Yeah, weird.
Pete Carroll has fired Brian Schottenheimer. Can they just say fired?
What, did they say mutual parting of ways?
Mutual parting of the ways. He fired.
I was wondering about that, about how that was going. Because so this
maybe,
actually.
So maybe there was. Are you saying
this actually seems like it may have been, hey, look, man, I'm not doing that. And he's like, well, you need to do that. And it's like, well, maybe this isn't a good thing for us anymore.
Yeah,
this seems like it might have actually been a mutual parting of ways.
But then you technically have fired him.
Unless he was like going to step away. They agree to disagree. But, you know, from different office buildings.
Well, he's out after 3 years with Seattle. The next offense coordinator will be the third for Russell Wilson in 5 seasons. That doesn't seem good. It will also be Carroll's fourth offensive coordinator. Remember Batesy?
Yeah.
Then Bevel, then Shoddy, and then whatever lackey he's going to hire. Coming up in the next few days. NHL season gets underway, Slick Hawk.
Oh, yes, sir.
Let's do that hockey. Lots of fun hockey going on.
The last season before the Kraken gets started. Five games tonight, Matt. Highlighted by the Canucks. You know, did anyone notice what I did today? Very orchestrated outfit.
Well, you got a Montreal Expos hat on, a Vancouver Canucks shirt.
Yeah, it's Canadian. It's Canada.
Though. Okay. You notice what I got going on right here?
I can't see it. Let's do that hockey.
Let's do that hockey.
It's Canada Day, even though they only have seven teams out of 31 still in the league. Because it's not their sport anymore.
About to be 32.
But yeah, we got two teams in Florida and a team in Columbus. Did you see the comments from Gary Bettman the other day?
No.
Like, yo, Bettman doesn't even want to play the season.
Oh, right.
He's like, I don't even know why we're playing. I mean, that's a commissioner of the league.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Sure, this is going to go swimmingly. Five games tonight, Canucks and Oilers. We'll highlight it. I don't know, at least I guess in this region. Everett Fitzhugh. Oh, Fitzy. Maybe we start branding our segments with him coming up next year.
Yeah?
Let's do that hockey.
With Fitzy. He's going to join us at 12:30 today.
Okay.
Because it's the last opening night before the Kraken gets started.
Ah.
Kind of crazy.
Finally.
Kind of crazy.
I want it. Well, what's good about this?
So we'll see the level of interest. And I'm curious to see the level of interest in it this year.
Yeah.
Here in anticipation for next season. Because you kind of want a little crash course into it.
Exactly. I want to watch some.
You're all in because you're doing a fantasy hockey league.
Well, there's that. The building hockey league. You know, two shows down. Sarah from the Danny Bonaducci show.
Who they don't violate any rules.
No,
they're the only FM station here.
Yeah.
That doesn't violate any rules.
So
because they're rule followers.
That's what Danny Bonaducci's always been known as. So she starts a fancy hockey league a couple years ago, and the Kraken are going to be here. I'm like, I got to join that and learn about the league. So I don't know any of these players that I have on my team, but I've got a team that I drafted.
I was in the first year, and then she kicked me out.
She kicked you out, or you were like, I'm good?
Well, I never set the lineup.
Well, that's a problem.
So she would yell at me, like every day.
Oh, there she is.
You haven't set your lineup.
There's our
yet.
Commissioner.
There's the commissioner. Right, there's Commissioner me. Sarah, who doesn't violate rules.
Right.
I got kicked out.
No,
that's fine.
And rightly so. I was a
and I should
solid
have been
decision.
Kicked out. I wasn't paying attention to it. I don't pay attention to fantasy football. But God, I play that for some reason.
Well, you need help. But your team's getting better. You're getting better.
I forget. I have lost the lust for it, the love for it.
A little bit of winning will turn that around.
Yeah,
it really will.
That's true. You know what? Yeah. Dale, that's a great remedy.
Winning will help.
Matt Nagy is going to return as the Bears head coach, and George Patton has been introduced as the new GM for the Denver Broncos.
General?
General George Patton is taking over now for the Denver Broncos.
Wow.
So Shoddy's out. Man.
I've mixed feelings about this.
Well,
well, just like when Bevel left, I had mixed. I know a lot of people were really eager for Bevel to go. I wasn't a Bevel hater. I never was. I thought there were a lot of things that Bevel did, and maybe even better than Shoddy did.
What's scary about it is, okay, you fire the guy.
Yeah.
And it's clear. Now, mutual parting of the ways. I don't know. It's kind of clear to me that Schottenheimer wanted to continue to run the offense that first 9 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I want to run it like that. We need to base our offense around the quarterback.
Right.
Okay. And then Carroll's like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that anymore. we're going to run it the way that I want to run it.
Yeah.
Like his first season when he was the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how much more they ran the ball than passed it?
Sure, sure.
It was such a difference from the prior year under Bevel.
Well, that's what when he was in New York, he set the record for most rushing attempts. That's what he was before he came here.
So that's why you hired him, was to run the ball more. What should be concerning to people is, well, how far more are you going to go to the extreme now? You hired like the poster child for the run first, second offensive coordinator in Schottenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look back at that 3+ years ago, back in 18, like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
There's no one else that fits the bill of, hey, help wanted, a run-heavy first, second, not imaginative offensive coordinator, and that's Brian Schottenheimer. You hired that one. He wants someone who runs the ball more and less imaginative.
Right. Well,
it's a serious question I'm going to ask you. A serious question. A little bit of sarcasm, though.
From you, never.
Is there even an offensive coordinator that exists in football right now that would run the ball more than Brian Schottenheimer? Does that guy even exist?
Well, certainly more than he did last year, because who? Brian Schottenheimer kind of recognized what everybody else did. Hey, and he even said, you know, I've never had a quarterback in my career. And so Russell Wilson, he finally gets that. He works with him, makes him better. And then, yeah, he wanted to use him. He's got all these weapons. So he evolved. He changed. Now, not enough to where he could, you know, adjust to two safeties, but whatever. So... yeah, I mean, I think that Pete's going to go and get another shoddy type guy and then just hope that he doesn't evolve and change with the times.
That's my question, though. Of guys that are around the league, associated with the league, who is it? Like, we got to dip our toes back into, like, 88 to find a guy. I even looked up if the guy was still alive when Chuck Knox was the head coach here. I don't even remember who the OC was. I had to go and remind myself. Yeah. I maybe get that guy.
Will Brinson was talking about the OC and down in San Diego for Anthony Lynn.
I mean, everyone's talking about the same guy. He was the first name that came up.
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know him from Adam. I just sounds like he likes to run the ball a lot.
Yeah, the striking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Garofolo had report. Like, Garofolo yesterday put on Twitter that, yeah, this is the guy.
He's on the list.
They're going to look at him. So
I don't know.
I mean, to go look, it's the same offense. All I say about this, we're not going to fall in the trap of picking a name this year. I'm not doing a name.
I want DeFilippo.
I'm just doing, here's who we'd like.
Right.
But like with Will said, or with what Mike had tweeted yesterday, he's, you know, this guy's on everyone's list because he doesn't have a job, you know, because you know,
they fired
the coach. So him, people are speculating maybe him and Pep Hamilton are a package deal, or maybe Pep Hamilton gets the gig. They've been given credit to changing Justin Herbert around, but it's weird. Like, they didn't run the ball more. They were a pass heavy team.
Yeah, they passed a lot.
And he's also the coordinator. Do you remember what he did this year? Do you remember what the biggest gaffe was in the NFL this year? One of them. Do you remember their game against, who was it? I wrote it down. Who the hell was it?
Are you talking about on the Atlanta, goal line when Herbert?
Third and one with 22 seconds to go at the end of the half. They had no timeouts against Atlanta. Do you remember what he did?
They get it down the goal line, and Herbert, like, he ran a play. Like, no, he tried to sneak it or whatever.
They ran the ball.
Yeah.
With no timeouts and 22 seconds to go.
Mm-hmm.
But if that doesn't scream of Pete Carroll offensive coordinator, then I say hire him immediately, because he clearly fits the time management play calling that Pete Carroll wants.
Yeah.
If we're going to call a run play with no timeouts and 22 seconds left in the half. That seems Carroll guy, does it not?
It does.
Slickhawk, that's Carroll's off. That's Carroll's wet dream. Is an offensive coordinator that will call a run play with no timeouts and probably have the half run out on him.
I seem to remember Pep Hamilton running a pretty good offense in the XFL. Now you're going to say it was the XFL, which it was, but wasn't he PJ Walker's head coach?
Hey,
didn't he work with him?
I don't think you should get caught up in names. You should just get caught up in philosophies. Like, what do you want it to look like? Now, whatever you want it to look like, I want everyone to play this game at home. Okay, you included, and everyone that's listening,
okay. The
five people that are listening. Play this game at home, because we'll do this later in the program, a help wanted ad about what we would want from an offensive coordinator for the Seahawks, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put out a help wanted ad in the old paper. Remember when the newspaper used to have the help wanted ads? God,
yeah.
That was great. They used to sell cars.
Right, of course.
Those were the times.
I would always look.
Those were the times, the classifieds in the newspaper. We'll do a help wanted ad. Now, everything that you put down for your help wanted ad, though, just know this. You're going to get none of it. We got a special guest coming up next on a What's Up With That Wednesday. Since kid's not here.
Being chased by dogs or whatever.
It's time to get his buddy on. We only put him on when kid's not here. Because we don't want kid to be here. Michael Sean Dugar from The Athletic covers the Seahawks. Wrote a great article yesterday on The Athletic about the situation with Brian Schottenheimer. Where the Seahawks go next with Pete Carroll. Michael Sean Dugar will join the program next.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Load of this. Load of this. Load of this. Load of this. Where you get that from? Where the mic still on? Let me that MC8 ball and MJG. Keep spitting that D to the IMP.
I'm not going to do it. Are you kidding me? We'll talk about that on the air. I'll just say sign of the apocalypse is what that is. Sign of the apocalypse. You know what else is a sign of the apocalypse here on a What's Up With That Wednesday is we are here, Puck.
Apparently the people don't call people anymore.
Well, I do. It's, you know, I prefer to call people.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do. That I'm very respectful of people that don't like it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people like to text now.
I like when people call me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we did reach out to our next guest, I did text him. Because I just know what age he's in. He's in a texting age.
Okay.
And Michael Sean Dugar from The Athletic joins
us. How old do you think Fitzy is, by the way? Fitzy's pretty young.
Mike, are you do you like people to call you or do you prefer a text?
It depends on who it is.
That's a classic.
That really meant I got some friends that, like, if they FaceTime me, I'm going to answer it, you know, no matter what I'm doing. And I got some that's just like, hey, man, you need to text me.
Okay. That makes sense.
I fall in that texting category. I would never FaceTime you. I don't FaceTime my wife, Mike.
I mean, you guys could, you know, there's no guarantee I answer, but, you know, you could give me a FaceTime.
You'd answer
it depends
me.
On what you want.
Dugar, you would answer me.
If you want something from me, it's more likely you should text me so I have time to figure out how I'm going to say no. If you're just trying to check up on me and see how I'm doing, then yeah, FaceTime.
And there lies the problem, what I was talking about, Slick. See, when you call them, when you call people, they inherently just pick it up. Because they don't want to let it go to voicemail, or they don't want to click it after the two rings, because then you're telling the person, I don't want to talk to you. See, when you text them, see, like Mike just said there, I can look at that text for a good, you know, 20 minutes and craft my no response.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah. 90% of the time, if you're calling me, I will not answer.
Well, yeah, because you're one of those people. You're one of those people.
I guess.
You reach out.
2021. It's 2021.
I hear you. I'm an old curmudgeon. What do you want from me? Mike, we didn't bring you on to talk about texting and calling. We brought you on to talk about your article about Brian Schottenheimer and the Seahawks. I guess looking at it, were you surprised they eventually made that move yesterday?
I was. I think I was on with Softy yesterday, and he asked me would he stay, and I was like, yeah. And then 10 minutes later, he's gone. So it shows you how much I know about.
Yeah. Our condolences that you had to go on with him. Sorry about that.
shows you how much I know about the organization, but I really thought that Pete would simplify it with his logic. Like, hey, this guy was in charge of the highest scoring offense in franchise history. He stays. Right, whether I agree with that or not, I just kind of thought that would be Pete's logic. And to be fair, he said those exact words Monday morning on the radio. So I was like, oh, okay, I feel good about it. But I was ultimately surprised that, like, Brian is what it sounds like, was kind of unwilling to put up with kind of Pete's philosophy. Because if you guys remember, in 2018, after they started 0-2, Brian was like, hey, we're running it. We're throwing it. And Pete was like, okay, cool, but we need to run this rock. And Brian was like, all right, cool. And they became the run-heaviest team in the league. So there's a history there with Brian, you know, obeying his boss's commands, for lack of a better term. It's really surprising in that regard that Brian was like, look, man, I'm good. If we're just going to get back to this run thing again, I'm out.
Hmm. I don't know. It's because, you know, we've been talking a lot about who's to blame for the offense's struggles kind of down the stretch. Pete Carroll, I think, shouldered a lot of that, just kind of his we don't want to turn the ball over philosophy. But I think that Brian Schottenheimer shoulders a lot of that responsibility, too. You know, a lot's been made of the, and Pete even alluded to it a couple times during his season wrap-up press conference, that Seattle failed to adjust to teams rolling up two safeties on him. And so I wonder how much of that goes to Carroll and how much of the, I mean, you know, maybe he was let go because of his inability to adjust. You would think that an offensive coordinator would be able to figure out some schemes to work against two safeties.
Yeah, no, that's true as well. Although, like, the problems go a little deeper when you throw the film on. Because, I mean, you look at weeks 10 through 17, those are the last eight games. There aren't that many too high teams on the roster or on the schedule at that point. You get the Rams twice and the Giants. Meanwhile, the Jets mixed it up and they got smoked. Meanwhile, the Niners, the Washington football team, and the Cardinals are all single high teams who also blitz a while too. Philly is also in that. So it wasn't even just that. But yeah, blame is just hard to parse in general. Like, credit is pretty simple, right? If Russ throws it, DK catches it, boom, it's Russ and DK are great. Like, it's pretty simple. Whereas, like, when you have all this dysfunction, we don't know who calls what plays. We don't know who butts in. Like, how many times did Pete overrule Shoddy and it was a pick? How many times did Pete overrule Shoddy and it was a touchdown? We don't really know the answers to that. Like, we don't have that headset audio. We'd have to, like, call the FBI to get it or something like that. So, yeah, no, Shoddy's definitely at fault for some of this stuff because he's ultimately the OC. But I think what I tried to point out in the column that I wrote this morning is that fixing the issues Shoddy doesn't do it, right? Like, okay, cool, got Shoddy out of there. That doesn't do anything. And I think it's important to know how Pete really wants to run the offense, you know, no pun intended. Like, it's not just that they didn't adjust. It's that they didn't do the adjustment that was ultimately running the ball. Like, I think if their season ended in the wild card round getting smoked by the Rams, but it was the run game that was working, Shoddy's still here, right? Because that's ultimately what Pete wants. Or other than that, Shoddy might have quit. So I think it's more about the what, not just the fact that they didn't adjust.
Michael, Sean Dugar is with us from The Athletic, covers the Seahawks. You can follow Mike there on Twitter, at Mike Dugar. Go read his latest piece on the Seahawks at The Athletic. Seahawks Pete Carroll reminds us who his boss parts with Brian Schottenheimer. Is the latest story that came out yesterday after the firing there of Brian Schottenheimer. All right, so he's gone now, but I guess it's a, you know, be careful what you wish for, Mike. I mean, you fired him, and now you're entrusting him to go make another hire, his fourth offensive coordinator since he's been the head coach. It'll be the third one in 5 years under Russell Wilson. Are you confident? Is anyone confident that he can get this one right?
I don't even know what getting it right looks like. You know what I mean? Like, is he going to get someone who does what he wants? Well, yeah, that's what happens when someone hires you. You do what they want. But how long does that last? I think it's not a coincidence that after the two pass-heaviest seasons of Russell Wilson's career, the OC's gone, right? Like, and then what happened in 2017? Like, look at all of the overcorrecting that happened after the 2017 season. Yeah, they get rid of the run game coordinator, and they get rid of the O-line coach, who was the same guy. That actually makes sense. But what did they do after that? They became the most run-heavy team in the league in 2018 and drafted a running back in the first round. Like, those are the mistakes that they really made here. And if that's what Pete's going to do again, then it doesn't matter who the OC is. That's why I posed that question at the end of the story. Because if Pete's just going to overcorrect again, and he reaches for Najee Harris from Alabama in the second round of the draft, and they're running the ball down people's throats, and they lose in the wild card round at New Orleans or something like that next year, then we're just right back in the same place we were in 2018 when they lost at Dallas. Right? Like, it's the same thing because you have the same guy in charge. You know, what's that quote about insanity? You know, you do the same thing over and over and expect different results. That is at the core of what I was trying to get at with the story. Nothing is really going to change. There'll be some tweaks here and there, some fun moments. They probably win double-digit games. But the ultimate change has to be in, like, a mindset, a philosophy. We got that for eight games with the Let Russ Cook, and then Pete stepped in the kitchen and was like, nah, you know, we're ordering out. Like, that is what happened. If that's going to continue to happen, then, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's me, you, or if my guy Chris Kidd, the OC. It's all going to be the same.
So it doesn't sound
we're
like
we're not going to let kid. We're not going to let kid call plays.
Hey, I've seen him in Madden. He's pretty good at it.
Come on, I mean, he doesn't think Largent's good. No, we're not going to let that happen. Go ahead, Slick.
Okay. No, I just so it doesn't. I mean, in terms of okay, fans want a Super Bowl here in Seattle. It doesn't sound from the way you're looking at things that, at least from an offensive standpoint, there are going to be a lot of steps made toward that goal.
You know, it's interesting. I just tweeted a poll out. I said, hey, do you guys think the Seahawks can go to the Super Bowl again in the near future with a run-first offense? I left it pretty general because I wanted to just, like, get as many responses as I could. And so far, I think no is leading. The two answers were yes and no. No is, I think, in the lead right now. I thought it was very interesting because I fall in the no category as well. Not because I don't think a run-first team can get to a Super Bowl. I think Baltimore could get there with that type of strategy as well. I don't think that's a bad strategy necessarily. It depends on your roster. Right? Like everyone keeps telling me, ah, look at when the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl. I'm like, well, yeah, guys. Now count the Hall of Famers on the defense and get back to me. Mm-hmm. Right? So unless you expect Trey Flowers or DJ Reed and Bobby and Jamal, like unless you expect like three All-Pros in the defense at once, that I don't think that strategy really works because what a run-first strategy does, it puts more stress on the defense. Like when you have a run-first strategy, your defense has to be great. Mm-hmm. When you have a pass-first one, your defense can just be like average. Right? Like look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a really good example. Not because they score 30. It's because what scoring 30 does, it means that like Chris Jones and Frank Clark only got to be so good. Right? They don't have to be the Legion of Boom because Mahomes can just get 10 points in 2 minutes. So I think the run and first strategy with this roster won't work because I don't think their defense is going to be elite because, I mean, you see any Hall of Famers on there besides Bobby? I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the way – I think it's too simplistic to say can you win with a run first offense. I think it's got to – how does the run first offense look? I mean, I think it's to your point maybe with Baltimore. San Francisco is minutes away from winning a Super Bowl last year. With that ideal philosophy of running it. I mean, there's ways that you can run the football, and I think you can also be multiple, have imagination in a running game that plays off a passing game as well, and certainly the passing game complements from the running game. It's just how does it look and how do you run plays? I mean, everyone can run a certain type of passing game, but then the real innovative offensive coordinators put guys in different positions, move guys around, motion, all that kind of stuff. I think you can do something similar in the running game, and maybe that's what he leans to. I don't know. But I just think of San Francisco of that year in which they were very highly successful in doing that. I mean, I think even if you go back to when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they had a very similar philosophy in terms of how they ran the ball, and they ran the ball quite well. Now, Foles and Wentz had great seasons. So, I mean, I think I guess my point is this, Mike, is how does it look? Does it look like the Seahawks running game, or does it look like maybe more of a hybrid of what Shanahan and the Niners do? And, I guess maybe he goes to that. This is going to be the biggest hire he's ever made because time is running out on his quarterback. And I do believe if he doesn't get this right, there's going to be a crossroads in 2 years from now with the head coach or the quarterback. Which one stays, which one goes? Because he's going to be a free agent. He's going to still be in his prime. And maybe at that time, he's going to get frustrated with where the situation the team's going.
Yeah, I think there's two really interesting things you mentioned there. First is the Niners, right? The Niners, yes, they were large. They were more like a 50-50 team. I think they ran it on early downs like 49% of the time. So they were actually pretty close. The difference was they had an elite defense. Like they were legit the best defense in the league. Not really good. They were the best with a bunch of quarterback killers on their front line. Philadelphia, one of the top four most efficient passing offenses in the league the year they won the Super Bowl, right? And that even with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. Like, there's something to be said for passing efficiency. It's just about how you achieve it. I personally don't care how you do it. I don't care if you're doing play action, throwing it 50 yards. I don't care if you're dinking and dunking it like the Niners do as well and get a bunch of yards after the catch. You just have to be able to achieve it. Because what passing does, like I'm saying, is your defense doesn't have to be great. Like, that Philly defense was okay. Like, it was solid. They really just got hot. Meek Mill was, like, their theme song, and they just kind of rode that, like, to victory. Maybe what the Seahawks need is for, like, Macklemore to have a number one record, and maybe that other defense will pick it up or something like that. But it really comes down to can your team Well, no, it's not. I hate Macklemore. But
what a Grammy.
Can your team have a really efficient passing offense at the end of the year? Like, everyone points to these rushing numbers in the postseason. And, well, yes, for the most part, the good teams are good at everything. Duh. But look at the last team standing. Go look at their passing efficiency numbers and then get back to me. Like, most of the time, you're going to have really efficient passing offenses playing in the Super Bowl. Like, that's how you get there. And until the Seahawks, like, maximize that, they're going to keep losing in the wild card and divisional round.
Yeah. You have anything else? We got, like, 30 seconds.
Just an opinion of yours, Mike, just about Seattle's lack of an intermediate passing game this year. Do you think that was more scheme, or do you think that there are issues with the quarterback and his ability to see, and that's why they just didn't go there?
I think Russ being short matters. I think not having a shifty slot receiver matters. Tyler's fast. He's not shifty. And I think that not having a scheme where you can naturally create yards after the catch, I think the Seahawks are like 28th in yards after the catch per completion. Those three things all matters. Not just Russ's height, not just the receivers, not just the scheme. It's a little bit of everything as to why their short game is basically just non-existent.
Go to his Twitter handle right now, at Mike Dugar. He's got a poll question up there. Do you think the Seahawks can get back to the Super Bowl in the near future with a run-first offense? Yes or no? Go vote right now and go check out his work at The Athletic. If you don't have a subscription, go get it today. Mike, appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for doing it.
All right, appreciate you for having me. Chris is really good at Madden. Let him be the OC.
We can't do it. Can you imagine his press conferences?
He works me. And I'm pretty good defensively in Madden.
Stop feeding him that, because he thinks in his head that he could do it.
You know what?
Chris
Kidd
is convinced that he could be the offensive coordinator for the Seahawks.
That's funny.
He's convinced.
You mean that, like.
And I'm not even exaggerating.
As far as just the play calling or whatever?
He thinks he could. No, I'm 100%. 100%. He believes if you put him in that role right now, he'd be good.
See, I would be the OC that Pete Carroll would want, because all I do is run the ball.
I think they should do that. I think that, hell,
runs and screen passes.
Throw Kid a bone. Let's go.
Give him a try.
Damn right. Imagine him up there. God, it'd be great. Sitting up in the podium.
I think they should hire
a little
Millen.
Booster chair up there.
I think
they
should let Millen do it.
Yeah, but the press conferences after the game, if we talked to him, it'd be hard.
Yeah, but just think about...
We'd get one or two questions in.
Think about the answers we'd get from Monday Morning Quarterback. I mean...
Yeah, but it would be like the scene in, you know, The Hangover with all the math going on. He'd be talking, he'd be answering a question from Condota, and people are like, what the hell? But you'd be passionate.
Oh, yeah. Well, they threw a double eagle front at us, and so we had to go to the hot receiver.
Yes, Curtis. What's a double eagle front? All right. Thank you to Michael Sean Dugar from The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter. I'm sure you do so already, at Mike Dugar. We'll have more. We need a help wanted. We're putting a help wanted ad in the newspaper.
All right.
And we need your help.
Eight people will see that.
494. Nine. 49451. What would you like in your help wanted ad? All right, we're seeking a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
What do we want? No names. We're not doing names. What do you want in your new offensive coordinator? We're putting together a help wanted ad that we will then go ship to the Seattle Times.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we need some help and some suggestions. 49451 as we look for a new OC.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Drinking. Yeah, a lot of drinking.
And how about that windstorm last night?
Good Lord.
I hope everyone's okay and safe.
Almost blew my dog away.
No houses are damaged. Cars damaged.
Yeah.
Hopefully everyone's safe. Shout out to Seattle Public Schools. for announcing no school today on Twitter. Rather than just, I don't know, a phone call like you normally do.
You and these phone calls today.
Well, here, answer me this. If you didn't have power, now maybe there would be something wrong with the cell coverage as well. I don't know. But if you're not going to have school today, they always send you an email followed by a phone call. I assume every school district does it the same way.
Hmm.
Like when you don't have school, there's no snow day, like a snow day.
Right.
Or whatever's happening.
They used to just announce it on the news.
Reminder, there's no school on Monday. You'll get a phone. Every parent knows that you get. Well, you should know. You're married to a teacher.
Yeah.
You get a phone call and then an email.
Okay.
These putzes put it on Twitter. And then it took them an hour and a half later to finally send out the phone call.
Huh.
Well, they're already trying to get on. They don't know what's going on. They're already trying to get on to school. Well,
maybe their system to send out the phone calls was down because of the power.
There's no power. We didn't lose power in Seattle.
No. Nobody? No? Okay.
No, it's like we're covered from
it. I thought power was out like everywhere.
Must be where all the teachers live. That's probably where it is, because I would assume most of the teachers don't live in Seattle. All right. Help wanted ad. We're trying to put a help wanted ad together.
Yeah.
In order to get a new offensive coordinator. We have a couple of minutes here. We'll bleed this over into our 11 o'clock hour. We need a help wanted ad.
Okay.
And this is not names. We don't need names, because no one knows who it's going to be. All right. No names. We just want... What do you want?
Mm.
What do you want in a play college? We put our help wanted ad together, all right? We all going to put our heads together. We're going to come up with a help wanted ad that we're going to put in the old newspaper.
Okay.
Back in the day when newspapers made their money from the classifieds.
Is that, yeah?
Yeah, that's how they did all it, right. Matt. Help wanted, selling furniture. Hey, I got a new litter of puppies. Got a Dodge Ram for sale. The classifieds. Back in the day when you looked in the paper for a job. All right, help wanted ad. I want you to
Craigslist
give me...
Craigslist killed all that.
It did. Craigslist, you're damn right it did.
Yeah.
Killed the newspaper.
Video killed the radio star.
What do you got? Give me a help wanted. What do you want from a new offensive coordinator?
New offensive coordinator.
And here are the rules.
Okay.
And to interrupt, sorry. Here are the rules. Whatever you want's not going to happen. So just understand that.
All right. I want somebody creative. Looking for creativity / ingenuity.
Okay, so you're looking for creativity, ingenuity.
Yes, maybe something, wrinkles that we haven't seen before. Maybe thoughts or concepts that are outside the box.
Something to where after the game, the defensive coordinator for the opposite team or the head coach goes, man, we didn't see that on film.
Yeah.
Which you have never heard any coach or coordinator in the time they've been here ever say that after a game. We didn't know Russell was going to do that. Threw us for a loop, right?
Yeah.
We all watch all the press conferences after the game.
Boy,
and I've never once heard an opposite coach, even in when they've lost, ever say, we didn't prepare for that.
Or the old baseball... Man, we really got to tip our cap to the way they called that game.
I've heard Pete Carroll about a million times say after the game, we just didn't see that on film.
Okay.
A help wanted ad from the 49451, the Coors Light text line. Anyone from the Andy Reid branch with a little sprinkle of Kyle Shanahan run game creativity.
Ooh, all right.
The 253. Someone who keeps Carroll accountable. Well, that would be his sons.
And you just lost one.
And Brennan is now headed to Arizona.
He's a Wildcat.
Nate could be the guy.
Huh?
Maybe he hires Brennan back as his OC.
All right.
You laugh, but why not?
How about this? How about, can we put something else on the stones?
You want stones.
I want an offensive coordinator that's got some stones.
Okay. You want stones.
Maybe that's going to be aggressive on a 3rd-and-1. You know, it's going to give a call that is not just plow the running back into Aaron Donald. Maybe it's going to be something to where maybe you go downfield. Maybe 5-10 yards downfield. Maybe you take a shot. I don't know.
Okay. Someone who Pete trusts and doesn't second guess. Well, good luck with that. Someone who isn't as predictable. Someone that doesn't mind being the OC in name only because Pete is going to call the shots in crucial situations.
Mm.
That's, again... We're creating a help wanted ad for the new offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks, which we will print in the paper. But just keep in mind, as the texts keep rolling in, we'll get back to it after headlines. None of it will come true. Headlines next.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.